Thank you, Phil. Yesterday we did silly underdog picks. Don't forget, the contest is open. Ready for you to make your picks. Three college or pro or a little bit of both. Whatever you want to do. Don't forget, everything begins tomorrow. This week's winner will receive a Party Foul gift card. Just go to thegamenashville.com or ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up and make your picks today. Speaking of that, Trevor Lawrence has tested positive, will not play against BC. Has that line changed? I have not looked, Chase. Has it gone way down or?
Let me pull it. I actually haven't looked either.
Yeah, we'll have to make sure if it's, what was it? It was, I think yesterday when we made our picks, it was a like 24, I think, somewhere around there.
Yeah, Vegas Insider, I don't think, has updated it. So okay. Let me, because it's still,
well, if it hasn't changed, we'll, but if it has changed drastically,
it's still like 28.
We'll need to alert the folks that handle that to adjust the points, right?
Or yes, indeed.
Okay, all right. Let's bring in Hal Gill, a.k.a. Skillsy. He is on the line with us. Hal, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. Hey, if you already locked in the line, then you're stuck with it, aren't you? Isn't that how it goes?
Oh, I card laid is a card played? Is that what you're saying?
I think that's accurate. I think that's an accurate statement.
Hmm.
I'm not a gambler, but, you know, it doesn't seem like you'd be like, hey, the odds just changed, so I want to redo my bet. Like,
Okay.
I don't think it works that way.
All right. Fair point. Hal is on record as saying, hey, card laid is a card played. Stay with whatever was there yesterday. Stay with it. Okay. We'll check into that. Let's start, Skillsy.
What do I know?
Let's start with Tuesday. What you know is what you did at Mike Fisher's clay shoot. Let's get down to brass tacks. Let's find out who was our winners and who was our losers in the clay shoot. Are you willing and prepared to give us your number out of 100 shots?
I'm proud of my number.
Okay.
Why wouldn't I be?
I don't know. I'm just asking.
69,
nice.
Bro.
Nice.
Of course your number was 69. Of course.
Nice.
We found out Tim Hasselbeck was 71 on Wednesday. He said his brother Matt beat him by one at 72.
Tim was 72. Matt was 73.
Okay, 72, yes, 73. Yes. So
Tim would want you to know that it is 72
and not
71. 71.
Okay, so the Hasselbecks beat you. Who else beat you?
Mace beat me.
Oh, boy. What was Mace's
number? 70.
70, okay.
He got a 70. Yeah, I guess I was like, hey, that's pretty good. I did all right. And then, I guess I did pretty good for a loser. Steve Hutchinson was there. He had an 85.
Wow.
Okay, can you confirm?
That's very strong.
Can you confirm that Tim Hasselbeck told us that you two had made a bet, and since you lost it, you have to call him sir the rest of the year? Is that true, or is that false information?
Hey, we never shook on anything. I think that was part of the social distancing thing, though. So,
it's a great way to get out of a bet.
That was.
So, did you find
It was a good crew out there. We had a lot of nice to see a lot of the boys showing up for fish. That was a fun time, but
yeah.
Yeah, it got competitive. I think guys get dialed in, and it's a great track. If you've never done it, you should do it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you can't ever get rid of those competitive juices, can you, no matter what?
No, there's a couple that slid away from me, and it's unacceptable. Even though I shoot, that's my second time ever really shooting. I'm still bitter. I should be better at this.
Was your first last year?
Yes.
And what was your number last year? Do you remember?
I don't remember. Okay. It wasn't that good. I was a lot better this
time. You felt like you got better.
So the way I see it is next year I'll probably win this thing.
Okay. Look, you improved. Yeah. That's what we learned. You improved from year one to year two.
Always a competitor.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's what it's all about.
I want to hit you with something that really got my attention, and I don't have any idea if – how much you know about it, but I know you know the area well and you understand it. But really sad news, Travis Roy passed away at age 45. If people aren't familiar with this story, it's really sad and tragic. He was a Boston University hockey player And on his, I think it was his first shift, first college shift.
11 seconds.
He wrote a book.
A book called 11 Seconds. Yeah.
Jeez, and he was paralyzed for life for 11 seconds in on his first shift, and unfortunately, he passed away a couple of days ago. Did you know much about this story? Did your paths ever cross? What can you tell us about it?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So when it happened, I remember I was at Providence College. We had a big win and we came back and, we were sitting around and we turned on the TV to watch the other games that were on, and the BU game was on. And, you know, we saw that happen. I mean, talk about gut wrenching. I mean, that is just the worst thing you could ever imagine. Just going in, doing his job, went in and hit a guy and just went into the boards, jammed his neck up, and that was it. If you can imagine how devastating that was, what's amazing and what says so much about Travis and who he was is he took that and absolutely spun it around into a positive and helped so much money, raised so much money, helped so many people. Spinal cord research, helping mm-hmm. people with spinal cord injuries, just went on this fundraising tear, spoke to people all across the country, was an inspiration to so many. It really is. It was an amazing life he led, and you know, a lot of people would have just, I mean, it's just a bad break, and, you know, a lot of people would have sulked on it, and he turned it around. So he was at BU, and I worked and trained at BU really my whole career. So I was always around and just a great guy. He had so many charity events that he was doing. And so I was at those, but just a tough loss and a great human and a great inspiration to so many. So tough to lose him.
Did you see his big like charity event every year? I think they did it, I don't know, like 14, 15 years, a wiffle ball tournament, and they turned these wiffle ball fields, like one was a mock of Fenway, one was a mock of Wrigley. It was the coolest thing. And they would have, like, you know, 30 teams sign up and pay all this money and raise all this money for, like you said, spinal cord research. And it was a big wiffle ball tournament every year, which I thought was the coolest thing.
Amazing. Yeah. He always had something going on and traveling and going around. And, if you get to see, I think it's an E60 there's a story about it. If you can look that up, it's definitely a person that you want to know more about. So
definitely,
it's sad to see him leave, but maybe it brings a light to his story and what he was doing and hopefully raise more money because of it.
We haven't talked to you in a while. Now that the dust has settled a little bit, and maybe David Poile has another move in him, maybe he doesn't. But right now, speaking of cards laid and played, David Poile has laid his cards out on the table right now. What do you think of this new-look roster that we're going to see?
A little grittier, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was looking at it going, hey, you know, they got to go out and get a second-line guy. If they're going to lose Turris, Bonino, Groundland, Smith, like that's a lot of losses and good players and good people, and you got to replace those. And I think Poile said, "Hey, let's grow from within." So I kind of like, now that I'm looking at it, I like the competitive nature. You have guys that are going to be fighting for those second line spots. Guys like Cal Yarncroke that have always been kind of boxed out and, you know, utility guy that, hey, well, we can throw him on any line. So now he can go up there and push his weight around. You have younger guys. Thomas, you know, I think has a spot if he wants to work for it and get it, that's available to him. So with all those changes, I think you're going to see a more competitive team, and you're going to see a team that's going to fight to get to the front of the net. That's what I really like about it is you're going to have these guys barreling through. They're not going to be a perimeter team. Certainly not on the third or fourth lines, and most likely the second line is going to have to be more of a grinding style anyway. So Poile always has a trick up his sleeve, so I don't know if he's done. And with all the cap space that he has available to him, I think it's kind of going to be a fun, you know, once this league does start up, I think he's got options, and that's kind of nice to have as a GM.
We're talking to Hal Gill, Predators radio analyst, former NHLer. And Hal, I want to come back to the flexibility and the patience and time that they have to add that last piece if they want to in a moment. But I want to get you to go a little further into what the grit and the element that they are trying to improve on can do. Because on paper, as you said, it looks like they've lost a lot of skill. They've lost a lot of just number of goals scored cumulatively by the team is lower. But can you win more by adding guys like that who aren't going to score as many goals, but they're going to maybe allow the skilled players to play better? I guess that's the idea, right?
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's funny. Being part of a team sport, you have to buckle down in the playoffs. And the Preds, it's been a few years now. They just haven't gotten it done in the playoffs. And so I really think they have to look at it and say, what are we doing wrong? By adding these gritty pieces, if you're on the bench and you see a guy barrel into the net and create havoc and disrupt the play, you look at it and go, hey, yeah, that's cool. I want to do that. And sometimes all it takes is one guy that's got that grit that plays in the interior and barrels in there that you kind of follow up on. So I think the guys are going to see that with the amount of players that they have that can do that now. I think it's going to trickle through the team, and I'm hoping that you see everyone kind of transform their game a little bit and maybe not get all the points that they did in the regular season as far as goals and assists, but get into gritty games and be able to win those, and I think that's going to make a difference in the playoffs.
All right, so now let's go to the other part. As you mentioned, if you look at the scheme, they've got the money and they've got the space to add another piece on the top six, probably the second line. The guy that, and I'm looking at Pierre LeBrun, he's just written an article about this, and Mike Hoffman is the best goal scorer that's out there. And he's talking about the dynamic. He's still getting some calls, and he mentions that Nashville is a team that continues to be in conversation with Hoffman's agent. There's a famous line by Buddy Ryan about Chris Carter, the Hall of Fame wide receiver, but early in his career he said all he does is catch touchdowns. Is there a type of player in the NHL that scores a lot of goals but isn't really a great winning player? That's kind of what I hear about Hoffman. They kind of say, well, he's kind of shaky on defense, but he does put the goals up on the board. So tell me what you see in Hoffman.
It's a funny thing because I always said, if you got a guy that can score consistently, I'll play a penalty kill and I'll just throw it off the glass and go score goals, we can deal with that. But that being said, sometimes if you don't play both sides, you don't get that grit that we were just talking about. You don't get everyone else kind of says, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. You're just supposed to hang out and score goals. I don't think Hoffman is necessarily in that. I think he's got a little edge into his game, but I didn't see it that much in Philadelphia. He certainly had it when he was up in Ottawa. Not in Florida, but he certainly had it when he was in Ottawa. I thought he was a gritty, hard-nosed player. Maybe his game has turned a little bit, but you can't deny the fact that the guy can score. And on the power play, it would be nice to count on him for, a few scoring chances a game and hopefully a couple goals a game. That's what he can bring to a team, but it's kind of a weird thing. There's a few guys left that haven't signed, and I don't know how that's going to work. Our buddy Granlund is still out there, and I'm not sure why these guys haven't signed yet. And so it's going to be an interesting story once we get closer to a season.
So I'm looking at here's a quote from an anonymous head coach about Mike Hoffman. And it's the word one-dimensional. He's one-dimensional. He's a great scorer. He's got a heck of a one-timer, but he's really bad defensively. To me, he's a specialist. And so I think that's the next part of it, Hal, is what would you be willing to pay? Because that's what it looks like is happening, is Hoffman thinks he's worth a certain amount. The offers that have come his way haven't been to his liking. So he's willing to wait it out. So how I guess a lot of people say you don't want to overpay for a guy like that, but since he's the best on the market in that category, you might have to overpay to get him.
Well, I also think there's the beauty of just waiting and seeing. You know, you can always wait and see, is Tolvanen going to turn on and come in and jump in and play? Like I said, Tomasino, is he going to come in? I don't know if there's a rush to go out and sign a guy that's going to be one-dimensional. Now, with the ability to, with the flexibility on the cap, I think down the road you can say, hey, we need to move some things and we have the money to get a player. Then you can go talk about getting a one-dimensional guy. But at this point, I don't know why the hurry would be to go out and just get goals. I think you're kind of looking for more players. But I still don't think Hoffman is that bad. I don't think he's one-dimensional. I think he's heavily favored towards his power play and scoring goals, but I still think he can do other things on the ice.
We're talking to Hal Gill, Predators radio analyst, and also does a little bit on the TV side with Willie. And I know on Sunday, Predators offseason report on Fox Sports South at 4 o'clock on Fox Sports South. You're a part of that with Lindsay and Mace. Looking forward to seeing some behind-the-scenes stuff from the draft and also your thoughts on the free agency like you've been talking about and what's going to happen in the upcoming season, whenever that is.
Yeah, it was kind of fun getting together. And, you know, we're trying to squeeze in a show and talk about how much happened with the NHL. The NHL just were like, it was like mass hysteria for about a month, you know, it's just like the draft and then all of a sudden, wham, right after that is free agency. So it's interesting kind of breaking everything down and now everyone's standing pat and waiting to see what the next step is. But it was crazy for a while. So it was good to sit there and talk it over and Lindsay and Mace, you know, be back at Bridgestone again. I miss that place. I wish I was there right now.
Yeah, so do I. So we've talked about the players that they signed, but what about Dan Hynoad and Todd Richards, the two new assistants? We had the opportunity about a month or so ago to talk to Dan Hynoad, but what interactions have you had with either of those guys over the years, and what do you think they're going to bring to the Preds?
Yeah, I played against Hynoad, so I know him well. Hard nose, kind of what we're talking about, bringing back the Predator way. He's the gold standard, whatever. I think David Poile is tinkering with what he wants to call it, but everyone knows what it is. And Dan Hynoad is kind of that player. And he's got a good background where he's coaching young kids, developing young kids. And I think that's a huge part in the NHL right now is you're not just coaching a team, you're coaching young players that are still developing. And so he's going to be great for that. And we just met him quickly at the draft, and this kid, he's got a ton of energy, and I think everyone's going to love that. You know, he's not afraid to say what he's thinking, and he comes out with it, and he brings energy, and I think you're going to see that. I hope you're going to see that trickle down into the team and get fired up to go win some games next season. Richards, I mean, just coming off winning the Cup, like he's been around. He's been a head coach. He's been assistant coach. He's gone through it all. So I think he's another guy that brings a lot of energy, a lot of wisdom, and I think he's going to be someone that can help Hines out a ton. So I like the moves that they made there. I think you're going to see a little more grit from the coaching staff as well. So that seems to be the theme with David Poile.
What would you expect? I mean, I know with the return to play, John Hines was able to have a little bit of a training camp, but, you know, as we mentioned, a lot of new guys coming in. This is now going to be his opportunity to really say, this is the system now. This is the new Predator way. So what would you anticipate will be some of the messaging coming from him once they do start training camp?
Well, it's funny because he had that half training camp, and it was whatever that was before we resumed play. And he's looking around going, okay, I got to make some lines and get this. He actually said it. He's like, there's not a lot of competition for jobs. We're trying to put a team together as quick as we can and make them as make it as good as we can. This is going to be different. I think this is set up in the way that either, you know, they didn't sign free agents or whatever they did. The thought is the competition, and I think that's going to be the key for this camp. Remember, what was it, 2 years ago? They said, yeah, we like our core group. We like this group. We want to stay together. Now there's been so many changes, so much new blood into this team. I think you're going to see a lot more competition for jobs. I think you're going to see guys shake up the system a little bit. And I think that's what Hines is probably looking for, is status quo isn't working anymore. You know, you can't ride off 2017 forever. Now we got to go challenge ourselves to get to the next level, and that's what this is going to be all about. So I'm excited for that when this does happen, because I think it's going to be more of an exciting camp than we're used to seeing around here.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, let's leave on this, and I'm going to be putting you on the spot, but here goes, because it's pretty wide open.
You always do that, Darren. You always do.
I know, and I'm sorry. I'm going to apologize
up
front.
Hey, hashtag ask Cal. Just throw a hashtag in front of it. You can do whatever you want.
I miss that.
We all miss that. All right, so, okay, there you go. Hashtag ask Cal. Now it's acceptable to ask you. What was the one move that jumped out at you, Predators or anything around the league that's happened since everything finished, since Tampa won, the one move that jumped out at you, good or bad, but it got Hal Gill's attention in what way? How would you answer that? It could be anybody.
You know what? What was crazy about free agency is all the goalies, you know? Like,
yes.
You have all that. I mean, that was Lundqvist leaving, Holtby leaving. It blows my mind that many goalies, I've never seen that many goalies change over. But honestly, Taylor Hall signing in Buffalo for 1 year, I did not see that coming. The guy hasn't won, and he's going to sign a 1 year deal on what has been a losing team. It blows my mind. I don't understand it. If you're going to sign a one-year deal, go on a team that has a chance to win so that you can say, hey, look it, I'm a winner. Now someone better pay me and give me the big contract. I don't understand it. I'm anxious to see what's behind the curtain, because maybe it's going to play with Eichel and he just wanted to play with him. I can't imagine that would be why you would give up money on the table or why you would sign for 1 year, but it is what it is, and I'm anxious to see how that plays out. What does he know that we don't know, and why would he sign that contract to go to Buffalo?
Great, great question. And look,
is what I don't know.
Well, there is. I don't think anybody knows but him. That there was no wrong answer to that question, but I thought you nailed it. I don't know how that can't be the number one thing, because everybody had the same reaction of, what? Are you serious?
Things that make you go, hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Hal, appreciate it as always. You have a great rest of your day and a great weekend. And what are you guys doing for Halloween? What are you doing tomorrow?
Well, there's not a lot of trick-or-treating, so we're kind of setting up a neighborhood thing.
Okay.
I'm trying to, you know, leaf blow a leaf pile so my son can play in it. Am I the only one that, like, the wind shifts every time I get the leaf blower out?
No.
Is it just me?
It helps if the leaves are a little wet.
All of a sudden it blows the other way, and I'm like, God damn it.
If the leaves are a little wet, then you're okay. It kind of makes them stick a little bit.
Yeah, right? Yeah. True. Weighs them down a little bit.
But that's not necessarily real fun to jump in, though. And make sure you clean up all the number twos if you have dogs in the backyard before you get the leaf pile, because that can be a surprise.
Nah, that's the best part about jumping into a leaf pile is that, oh, no, it's all over me.
And the good news is you'll know. Surprise. That's the beauty. You'll know right away.
Here's your treat, kid. There's your trick.
Skillsy, always a pleasure. Have a good one. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right.
See you, Skillsy.
That is Hal Gill. How can you not have fun?
We got a trick in the leaf pile.
Here's your treat. Go jump in the leaves. No, there's your trick.
There's your trick.
You just jumped in a pile of manure. Oh, well. All right. We'll come back.
That is fertilizer.
blinking fertilizer.
Good stuff from Hal Gill, of course, part of our radio team, and does work over on the television side as well for the Preds. We'll come back and wrap up the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase here on this Friday. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
But first, Sunday, it's here. BetMGM Sports is coming to Tennessee. That's right, the same people that light up the Las Vegas Strip with the world's greatest sports books and casinos. You all know them if you've been to Vegas. They'll be offering real money wagering on a state-of-the-art app that is easy to use and features all of your favorite sports. Football, basketball, NASCAR, anything. They got it. Find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks with parlay bonus payouts, love a good parlay, in-game wagering, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. And every time you make a wager, you'll earn credits in M Life Rewards. That is the exclusive loyalty program of MGM Resorts. Every big game and every big play will mean more than ever. So get ready to experience sports like you never have before. Dabble like yours truly. Be among the first fans in the state to download the BetMGM Sports app coming soon Sunday to Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older. Must be present in Tennessee for problem gambling support. Call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.